So, oh my. You know, we're going through the book of Acts here this morning. And remember, Acts is a transitional book. I took the book of Acts in seminary and Bible college. And, you know, you have to understand it transitions the church through. Some days I hear people on the radio, or they will be on YouTube, and I'll watch it. I'm thinking they're way off because they're looking at Acts for being as of today. That's why you get the tongues and the healing and everything else that goes along with it. It's not for today. It's a transitioning book. And, you know, but that being put aside, we're looking at Acts chapter 16. We're looking at verses 13 through 18. Looking at number one, a liberated woman, verses 11 through 15. Number two, we are looking at an enslaved woman. So you can remember going back with a woman's movement in the early 1900s. There was a lady actually who was killed, and they decided, yes, we better start listening to women's rights. This is back in the early 1900s in England. And then, of course, in the 60s, and you ask why? Well, because women were not treated fairly amongst as men were. And then, of course, too, back in the late 60s, through a Quaker meeting, believe it or not, 300 people got together and decided to go with the liberated women's movement, and it birthed from there. Okay, and of course, there were other pockets and other ways of this coming to be, but in some ways it helped, in some ways it didn't. If you don't have God in the equation, it's not going to help. And people say that Paul was a chauvinist and so on and so forth, but this will show you that Paul was not a chauvinist. Paul believed in women's rights more than anything else. You have to remember, in the Grecian Roman style back in that day, you had women were on par with slaves and also with Gentiles. And that's how the Jewish mindset was. Women were substandard. And you're saying, how can people get that way? Very easily, when they walk away from God's words. Very simple. It doesn't take a scholar, doesn't take a Rhodes Scholar to figure that one out. It takes just reading from the Word of God and studying it and asking God the grace to explain it to you as an individual. So we're looking at a liberated woman, so to speak, a portrait of a woman. You know, when you look at a portrait, it can take sometimes hours and days where a person has to stay completely still while an artist sketches or paints out a portrait. And but God has a way of giving you a portrait, an illustration of one that is in sin, who's enslaved, and one who isn't, just like as it is for men too, and children, and for families, and on and on. And our government certainly is enslaved in sin. Look at the mess they're making of things right now. We're not going to get into that this morning. We'll share with you the good news of Jesus Christ. So going back in Macedonia, remember we talked about this over a week, 2 weeks ago, that Paul, and you had Silas, and then you had Luke and Timothy. They went out toward the area there of Macedonia. Remember, Paul had a vision in Acts 16 of a man praying and pleading. Now, it's important when people are praying for us that we can sense God's Holy Spirit moving in us and through us. And we're called to go different places, different things. We've all been there this week, haven't we? Or God has called us to go this place, that place. God's answered prayer. God's put prayer on hold. God has told people to do this. God has closed doors for that. There's constantly things going on all the time, recycling of things. It's like one person called it the circle of life. I just call it God's plan. So you have this going on. The Macedonian call happened. The four went out there, and they went to Troas, which is just off the Aegean Sea. And they went over into Macedonia, which is today modern-day Greece. And you have the town called of Philippi. Philippi was very important because it was called the little Rome. It was very important because you had mainly Roman citizens there. It's a perfect place where the Holy Spirit called Paul and the others to go there. Plus, it was a big shipping port. So the gospel, very first person who was liberated we see here is Lydia here. She was from Thyatira, the city of Thyatira. And she was a businesswoman. And she would sell things made of purple, and which is a very expensive dye. And we're going to look at that in a minute. But she was there. God had led the group of these men to Lydia. So let's get into the conversion of Lydia here. Verse 13, it says, "And on the Sabbath, we went out of the city by the riverside where we prayed. Prayer was wont to be made, and we sat down and spake unto the women and resorted thither." So, they had traveled out from where they were in Philippi, right outside Philippi, and there was a small group of women who would get together. Now, you have to understand, there were a small group of Jewish people there, and according to the Torah, the Jewish law, you would have to have at least 10 men get together, and they could start a synagogue. Well, there wasn't that. There were women there. The Bible doesn't say there were men there. So you had these group of believers there, these women. Why did they go down to the river side there, about a mile outside Philippi? Because they were practicing Jewish rites, and one of them was baptism. And they were reading and praying and according to God's word. Well, a perfect opportunity for us today, if we want to go out and start a church, is we get a group of believers, this has been done, and get them from different parts of the area, and you bring them together to start a church. Okay, which is good. Well, you have these ladies who got together on the Sabbath day, and they were praying, and I think God answered prayer. He brought along some leadership to help. And so God had used this woman, Lydia, as a blessing. It's interesting also, too, that the people there that were called by God were blessed. Because you had somebody named Paul who was actually used by God. Paul was a rabbi, a teacher, a student of Gamaliel, who was the greatest rabbi at that time. Remember, when Paul went everywhere he could, he was known as being a very good teacher. And so he was used of the Lord. And we see here in verse 13 that so they went down there. And we see verse 14, "And a certain woman named Lydia, seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, with which her worship God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, and she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul." So she heard about Paul. They came down to meet them. And so they had a wonderful time of fellowship. And so here you had Lydia. She was a businesswoman. And you have to understand that Thyatira was known for selling purple dye. Purple dye was used for royalty. It was also used for those who were rich. Usually the Roman Senate, they would wear gold and purple, sign of royalty. We ourselves are a royal priesthood. We are a royal priesthood with Jesus Christ. We don't need to confess our sins to a priest or tell our sins to a priest. We can go straight to our high priest, Jesus Christ. So she was a woman who took murex shellfish and roots from madder plant. This is where you get your purple dye. Made a big business out of this. She was a sharp cookie. We'd call that in the business sense. She was a sharp cookie. She's sharp. And she went ahead and she made a great business out of this, had a large house, and she had family. Now, whether we know if she was married or not, we don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us that. But eventually, their whole family came to know the Lord through her. She was also a Gentile. She was a proselyte. Another word for proselyte is a convert. She was a convert to the Jewish faith. And from there, when Paul came along, he explained the gospel. She got saved. Even today, some churches, Saint Lydia, they have that in some churches, which to me, a saint is one who's already gone home to be with the Lord. And we're all saints of God here too. Okay, so, and God is no respecter of persons. But I'm thankful for God saving Lydia and her household. She is the very first person mentioned in Europe, a lady to come to know the Lord. And so that's very special. And women today are very special in families and sharing the word of God. And so they're very important, even grandmothers and great-grandmothers, to tell their children too, because sometimes men don't always do that. Men aren't always home, as it is, especially in our society today too. So, verse 15 says, and when she was baptized in her household, she besought us, saying, if ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. So right away, she was baptized. She heard the word of God, what Paul had to say, and she was baptized. I thought that this is something that we can be very thankful for. I'm reminded of God's word when we're seeking God. It says in Hosea 10:12, sow to yourself. Remember, we sow and we reap what we sow in life. We talked about that earlier today. It says here, sow to yourselves in righteousness, God's righteousness, reap in mercy, be merciful to others. God's been merciful to us. Break up your fallow ground. That means churn up in your mind what you know. It's nothing like churning up the ground in your mind. And for it is the time to seek the Lord till he comes and rain righteousness upon you. God's word is like rain that comes to us. Yesterday we had a lot of rain, didn't we? We're very thankful that we had a break from this hot weather. It was hot. It was so hot that you go outside for 15 minutes and all of a sudden I'm just pouring with sweat. You know, my wife doesn't sweat as much as I do, but she's just like, oh, well, you're so dry. That's wonderful. But God has ways of giving us his righteousness. Hebrews 11:6, when you think about Lydia, but for without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder to him that diligently seek him. You know, we got people today that diligently seek God, that grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, that look to him and find him. And you know, we're going to look at somebody here in a minute who doesn't know God. And so I am just, you know, thinking about this, that we have a world today that is lost. A world today who doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Savior. And there is a woman found here going in. Number two is an enslaved woman. You have a liberated woman, and now we're going to be looking at an enslaved woman. And it says here in verse 16 that it came to pass as we went to prayer. Now remember, when you're praying and things are going well and God's blessing, remember that there's always going to be the opposition. The enemy is going to come along and he's going to try to throw you a curveball. A lot of us here know all about baseball. When that pitcher throws that curveball, you're the bat and it comes like this. It doesn't come straight at you. The devil always tries with his lies to make things look good. He tells you 99.9% of the time that this is truth, Don't believe because it's all lie. Jesus said he's a liar. He's a father of lies from the very beginning. Don't believe a thing he tells you. And he started with that with Adam and Eve. But look closely here. When God's blessing, people are getting saved, the church is starting. There's lots of rejoicing. It came to pass as we went to prayer. So number one, they went to prayer because they knew there was going to be spiritual attacks. You know, today we have attacks coming from different directions. And we need to have the armor of God on. It's very important. So let me go here to step number two. And a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination. Now that spirit of divination has the idea of fortune telling. Back in those days, generals, before they go out in armies, they would consult a diviner. And what is that person? That person is someone who is from the occult. Somebody who, it's masquerade as a demon. Demons, and high governments, like it says in Ephesians 6. And there's, demons in different areas of ranks in Satan's army. And they're everywhere. Okay? And so, every false religion has a demon behind it. And even in our government, what they're promoting, that is demonic. But you see here, we have someone who is a damsel who is possessed with spirit divination, met us, and brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. Now, remember too, that when you have people who are bought into this demonic world, Satan always sells something over. It's like for money or materialism or for prestige. It's always very something shallow, something very much on the surface. When a sinner is blinded by that, because we are blinded by the god of this world, that we have to take in consideration that we need to be discerners in God's spirit. So we see here that she was making lots of money for her owners. And of course, it goes on to say here that the same followed Paul and us, crying, saying, "These men which are servants of the Most High God would show us unto the way of salvation." Now she followed them, these servants of God, Paul, Silas, and you had Timothy and Luke. They were followed by her, and they were crying out, "Here is a servant of the Most High God." And I've had people ask me this in times past, "Well, what does make any sense? Why would a demon-possessed lady call this out? It makes no sense." Well, it's very interesting because Satan, while doing that, and it irritated Paul, you'll see here in a minute, and cast the demon out, was that if people thought, well, if Paul was following the Most High God, or in the original language, the most high God, a way of salvation, not the way of the salvation, a way. They take the article out there and has the idea in the English was that it's only one God. And when there's a triune God. Now listen to me very carefully. Now you have, she was calling out the Son of the Most High God. Okay? They all thought, well, Paul is following the same God that she's following. Hear what I'm saying? So you see where the lie is, the deception is? If she continued with Paul, then they're going to think, well, she has the same power as Paul has. See how Satan's clever? He does that in our lives sometimes when he tries to be so close to the truth and is so far from it. And that's what the devil does. You know, we're following God's word today in this church. As I was saying in Sunday school over 40 years ago when I got saved, you know, I come here and this is the same kind of church that I was saved in. The doctrine, everything. What has happened to the Christians today? They become worldly. They've gone to churches that have all these shows and lights and all this extra stuff going on. Church for over 40 years ago never had that. You remember back in the 70s and into the early 80s, you never had all this that they have nowadays in these churches. Never. You know that. I know that. But, you know, that's how the devil works. He works very slowly and chips away at a little bit of time. So, Paul and Silas and Timothy and Luke, they were just getting tired of this. Paul, who's the spokesman, says, enough. Had enough of this. And so, you know, you read the word of God, you don't study it, you think, well, she's helping Paul. No, she wasn't. She's taken away from God's glory. We are to glorify God because we're in love with Him. We love Him because God is love. He is spirit. We should worship Him in spirit. And here was somebody wanting to take that away. And these guys, these people that were trying to make money off of her, were going to become angry. And we'll get into that another time. But the portrait here is that you have a woman with a lying spirit. And even today, we see that in 1 Timothy 4, 1 and 2, it says, in the latter times, men shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and teaching of demons, speaking lies in disguise, having the conscience seared with iron, the higher iron. You have preachers today, and you have teachers today that are not from God, who teach and preach a different gospel. And eventually, like I said, in Sunday school, it will come out eventually. You won't see it right away. Maybe not for years. But then eventually, they're going to expose themselves for who they are. And it is disgusting. It really is. And you think, all this time, I thought this person believed this. Just recently, you had a pastor, I'm not going to mention his name, in the Southern Baptist Convention, that he put out a lot of books and all, and now he believes in women preachers. Bible never speaks of women preachers. Never, never. Show me where it is. You know, and they can teach. They women have an awesome responsibility, but men in the home are the spiritual leaders. Men at church are supposed to be the spiritual leaders, and the women are supposed to follow that. And that's just right there. It has nothing to do with, you know, women being liberated and so on and so forth. And, you know, so what? Getting back here about the lies, it says here in Proverbs 19:9, a false witness shall not be unpunished, and he that speaketh lies should perish. Thank God this woman came to know the Lord. She was delivered from this. We'll see this in a minute. Number two, a lip of truth shall be established forever, according to Proverbs 12:19. But a lying tongue is for a moment. You know, a lying tongue, when people lie to you, don't speak the truth, once it's exposed, it's gone because it was a lie. The truth abides forever. Paul had the truth, and the people saw that Paul had the truth. And what made these people angry who were using this poor woman was because now they couldn't make money. It's all about money when it comes down to it. And some of these churches today, I don't want to get on a tantrum about it, why they're growing. Some of these churches are getting so big, and not all of them, but a lot of them, and they're not preaching the gospel, is because they make more and more money. And unfortunately, they make bigger buildings and, you know, make a bigger name for themselves, and then all kinds of things are going wrong. But not on all of them, but a lot of them. And we're seeing that in the age of apostasy we're living in today. So there is a big scam, a big charade going on here with this lady. And it says here in verse 17, the same followed Paul with us and cried, saying, these men are servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. A way of salvation, like the Jehovah Witnesses said, in the beginning was the Word of God. The Word was a God, not God. Their Bible is different. In other words, they take out of that article. They're just talking about Jesus was a created person. That's what the Jehovah Witnesses believe in. And what this lady was saying, a God, a way of salvation. We all have our biggest lies. We all have our own way of salvation. We can get there any way we want. It's not what the Bible teaches. Through faith in God's grace and, you know, not of works. And the Bible has not changed. Thank God it doesn't change. People change, but the Bible never changes. It says in verse 18, and this they did many days, but Paul being grieved, he was hurting because he was tired of hearing this, turned and said to the Spirit, and he rebuked the Spirit and commanded thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. Nowadays, you have Satan working in different ways through fortune tellers, soothsayers, palm readers, science seances, Ouija boards, the stars, zodiacs, sorceries, tarot cards. I met this lady one time who was I thought she was a Christian lady, and got a friend and I went over there, and this is before I got saved, and out on her table she had tarot cards. And she goes, oh, I take this real seriously. And I'm like, you know, I thought Christianity was different. There's a lot of people who disguise themselves as Christians, who pretend, who masquerade themselves, but they dabble in the occult. And of course, the occult has to deal with the difference between that and a cult, just a cult. Today we have philosophies with cults, and we have religions with cults. And you have this Green Deal that our government, this can be cultish too. The occult has to deal with demons and witchcraft and dark magic. So there is a difference between the word cult and occult. So it's all a masquerade from the truth. It's all pretends and lies. So it's interesting that you have people today that will do the same destruction in people's lives. They will have a form of godliness, but they'll deny the power thereof. And you get this also with the doctrine of demons I just mentioned to you in 1 Timothy 4:1-2. They go off with, well, you know, you're sick. You're sick. Okay, let's start off with this. You need to be healed. And if you give us a love gift today, we will go ahead and we will pray for you. And the more you give, the more we'll pray. This actually takes place in different churches. It's a scam. It's a charade. Then, if the healing doesn't work because you don't have enough faith, then they say, well, if you don't have enough faith, then God's not prospering you, is he? They'll tell you another lie. That, you know, when you say godliness with contentment is great gain, they'll say, well, now let me introduce to you the prosperity gospel. And the reason why I'm bringing this up, because this is all demonically influenced. And if God's not prospering you, then you don't have enough faith. So guess what? You need to give more. You know, more money. Okay? And we need to pray for you. And unfortunately, if somebody dies because they're not well, then you didn't have enough faith. Oh, that's terrible. That's wrong. You know? It's all in God's will over life and death. And Jesus says we are going to suffer. But greater is he that's in us. He gives us the joy. So what they do is they deny the power of Christ. They have a form of godliness, but they deny the power of. Stay away from that kind of teaching. Even looks like it's prospering. Oh, look at all the lights and the gizmos and all the music and everybody shouting and the feel good thing, and I'm having experience and this and that. Watch it. That is not the same gospel, amen, that we were brought up in. What happened to our churches? They become worldly. They've taken the Holy Spirit out and they brought in the things of the world so that you feel like you're having an extra revelation, extra experience. And, you know, if you read their doctrine, then you'll understand what I'm talking about. And if they don't want to tell you about their doctrine, if you all go on, Jim and I are going away after vacation Bible school, we're going to visit a church. We're going to make sure it's a good church before I go there. But if they don't want to read to you their doctrine, give you a copy. There's a man coming here next week who's interested in our church, wants to get a copy of our Constitution. He's real excited. He came here last week, he and his wife, and they're really interested. And he says, you know, it's good because we don't water down the Word of God. He says a lot of churches around here, and he's been here all his own life, he and his wife have been here their whole life, and they said a lot of these churches that just watered down the Word of God really have. They might be, he told me, they've got lots of people coming, but there's no power in the gospel anymore. It's gone. And so we need to realize this as Christians today. So what am I trying to tell you here? Well, the difference between a liberated and an enslaved woman, and listen to this. To the sinner, you're born corruptible. To the saint, you're born again incorruptible. As a sinner, you're a child of wrath. But as a saint, you're a child of God. As a sinner, you're dead in sin. But as a saint, you're alive unto God. As a sinner, you're under sin. But as a saint, your sins are removed. And then we see here, as a sinner, you're blasphemous. But we see, as a saint, we have one that fears God. And as a sinner, you're workers of iniquity. And as a saint, performs good works. And it goes on and on. And I love this one here, too. I've got about 20 of them here, and I don't have time for this, for the difference between one who is liberated and one who is enslaved. One is cursed as a sinner, and the other one, as a woman, is redeemed. As men, we are redeemed through the blood of Jesus Christ. And last but not least, one has a deceitful heart, a sinner, and the other one has a new heart. And there's so many good ones right here to go on. But, you know, you look at the comparison of the two. One bought into the world and took it hook, line, and sinker. The other one was seeking God. And that word Lydia actually means one that worships God. So God blessed her through her business. God blessed her through the Word of God. God blessed her through her family. And I have not met a woman today who has not been blessed through their family, through their loved ones, through their churches. You know, they have been a blessing to me. They probably don't know this, more than I could ever say or ask. And I give thanks to the Lord for the women at this church who go out of their way, who actually have a wonderful testimony. And so, as I'm closing here, and I have to say this because, you know, this is a newspaper that I found that I've been missing for about 40 years. Christ Returns, missing, millions of missing around the world. In this newspaper here, put out by the Gospel Tract Society, every article in here is applicable to today. Unfortunately, they stopped printing this copy years ago, but it's fascinating. And you'll see the same parallelism. Today, another demonic inclusion is today the manifestation of postmodernism. And I have to say this closing, because we're looking at our righteous today, God bless you, but then we're looking at the demonically induced leadership that we have. The trends of secular Marxism and Leninism that they're teaching today in our government, in our schools, and everywhere. And we need to be praying more and more, because it is a spiritual battle. And they are not going to give up. They are going to fight. Thank God for Roe versus Wade. Thank God, too, that we have the Bill of Rights. Just remember, in your history class, right, they taught you the Bill of Rights was there to make the checks and the balances with the Constitution, with our forefathers. July 4th is coming up. I'm going to be preaching about this next week. But now you have the manifestation of postmodernism, which is influenced through the Marxist-Leninism. And you have political correctness, which we have seen. Just a couple more things on a close with this. Radical victimology, which this is a paper that I got over 30 years ago while I was in seminary or in Bible college. And it says here, radical victimology, BLM. Okay, we're all victims. They taught this is under the Marxist-Leninism. Altered histories. Look how they tore down our statues. This is going to come to pass. Attacks on missions or pro-life agencies. They've been attacked since this is going on. They're not preaching. They're not telling you this in a lot of churches today. They're not. They're just so into what themselves. And distorted sexual identities, transgender. This paper that I did years ago is coming to pass. It's coming to pass. And the Lord is coming because he says all things come to pass. And he's returning. And it's going to happen so quick. I believe the change of the events are happening so quick. Paul, Silas, Timothy, and Luke went and they got out the gospel before it was too late in that Roman colony. We're living in like a room today where they're mixing everything up. Our president said the other day that with our Constitution, you know, you have your absolutes and your non-absolutes. He said, well, I believe in non-absolutes. How do you know if it's really the Bill of Rights? Or really, you can interpret it any way you want. You see, with their watering down the Constitution, but thank God we're all here today because we're not watering this down, amen? And we're going to stick to it, come thick or thin, and we have the same salvation that we had when we got saved, and we have the same first love, just like we were saved the other day, right? Amen? We got that. We're excited. We need to pray about this VBS. However God's going to work things out, he'll bring the people in, and people will get saved. And our church will grow. It will. It's going to take time. I want to encourage everybody there here. Okay? It takes time, and it's God's working. It's going to do it. We just have to be faithful. Paul was, and even that the lady Lydia, they started with the church there. What a blessing. And, you know, somebody got saved who was demon-possessed. So God is powerful. He can overcome everything if we let him. Amen. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this time. We thank you that we can be portraits ourselves. And that, Lord, you are the great creator, the great designer, and that you love us, and that you are creating in us to be more and more like you. You are sanctifying us to be more and more like you. Lord, just pray as we look back on the day that we were saved, or some of us can't remember when we were saved, but we realized there was a change in our life and that we were transformed. And Lord, we just ask you, God, that you just give us the grace to take us individually before you and say, how far have I come? What have I done? What am I not doing? Am I in your plan? Is everything falling into place? Regardless of how bad it's going to get sometimes, because Lord, you said, let not your heart be troubled. And, you know, Lord, that you knew that we were going to go through a lot of trials and tribulations. But are we progressing on? Are we growing in your grace and knowledge? Are these trials helping us to grow? Lord, forgive us when we've come short. We thank you for your blood for our sins. And anybody watching online, remember this great love that I preached about here this morning. It's for you. It's a free gift. If you want it, it's there, but you got to come God's way, not your own way. There are all kinds of substitutes out there, all kinds of lies out there. The Bible is the truth. And Lord, today, Lord, we put our lives on this because this is the only truth that there is. We're thankful for that. Lord, we thank you for the worship time. We pray about VBS and about all of our lives here. Thank you so much for the saints here. And thank you for the Holy Spirit. And Lord, we pray for churches too that have watered down your word, that have become worldly. Lord, they come back to their first love. And Lord, we thank you, God, that humbly, that Lord, you continue to use us until you take your church home to be with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.